Welcome, everybody, to The Advisor with Stacey Chalemi. Today, we're diving into the world of accounting and business growth with a focus on equipped professionals with tools to thrive in careers. Our guest today is Roger Kinect. He is an amazing individual. He's part of our podcast community. He has a great podcast of his own under in our channel. Look for him because he has great episodes that will help you in every area of your life that's related to accounting and in your personal life as well. And today we're going to dive into an excellent topic that he talks about, and it's about cutting to the chase. And for everybody who doesn't know what that actually means, he's going to explain that today in full detail about cutting to the chase and getting around to what's really important. So today is really a fun conversation, but yet it's very important and very useful in our daily lives. You know, before we begin, can you tell everybody a little about yourself and introduce yourself because you are just an amazing individual in my eyes.
Well, thank you. And Stacey, it's nice to be back. What am I? Who am I? Well, I'm a husband, I'm a father, but I'm also the president of Universal Accounting Center. We're a post-secondary school for accounting professionals. We basically work with owners of accounting firms. We essentially help them actually start and build their businesses to offer quality services and train their staff. In addition to that, we actually have a division of our company where we offer business coaching. It's Universal Business Builder, where I work as a business coach with owners of companies, helping them implement a variety of things to actually increase their revenue, improve their profits, and build value in their organization, but at the same time, help them engage and manifest to actually become leaders. And lastly, understand accounting. So those five things are essentially where we put a lot of our time and energy over a course of, say, 12, 24, 36 months as I work with them on their businesses and help them build their companies.
I love that. I love that. Now, we've gone over a lot of different topics in the past, but we've never talked about cutting to the chase. And that can mean a lot of different things. But to you, what does cutting to the chase actually mean?
So, cut to the chase, it's going to be something familiar, I'm assuming, with a lot of my Northeastern people. It's the very simple get to the point type thing. In a sales conversation, I'm sure you've heard it. It's where somebody just says, you know, just cut to the chase. What is this really about? How much does this cost? What's it going to cost me? Those types of things are very natural in conversations. And whenever you're working with an individual that just wants you to get to the point, that's what I'm talking about from a sales perspective today. How do you actually work with that individual to help them understand what it is you offer and move them through a process that's very logical, very simple to follow, that you're able to use from a sales perspective to nurture a conversation to the point of getting a sale and engagement and so forth.
Now I love that. Now, when it comes to the cutting to the chase and getting to the first part, I know there's one thing that you talk about overcoming objections. You talk about find the real objection. So what does that actually mean?
So after teaching the six steps of cut to the chase, we focus on the fact that it's very natural for people to still have questions, that before they may commit to an offer and accept the sale and hand over their payment, what they're perhaps going to do is come back with some objections or questions. And the first thing that we want to focus on there with overcoming objections is recognizing that an objection is a buying sign. It's essentially them interested enough to want to probe a little bit further and get clarification on something to make an intelligent decision. So whenever we're challenged or asked questions, seeing an objection from the potential customer, we should be excited. As a salesperson, if they weren't interested, they would just end the conversation, say no thanks, and move on. But because they have questions, they're genuinely trying to justify the purchase that you're offering. So what we're trying to do now is, first of all, as a process of basically overcoming that objection, is beginning with first finding the real objection. First, seeking to understand what that concern is, and more or less repeating it back to them to make sure that not only have we heard them, but we validated it and we've repeated it back so that we can understand their situation before answering it.
I like that. A lot of people, when a person comes back to with a question, after you have explained whatever sales that your sales service or product that you're trying to talk about, how should someone really go about that? Now, you talk about acknowledging the question and then paraphrasing the question. Now, how do you turn the question around? Do you try to look for more related questions? Like, how do you go about that?
So what you're referring to are some of the steps in overcoming the objection. And you mentioned at the very beginning, finding the real objection. The challenge there is, as a salesperson, we typically project onto the customer what an excuse may be. It's either something we feel is a good, viable excuse, and we're going to ask, is that your concern? Or more often, the salesperson has had enough experience with other objections that they're going to just basically say, well, everybody else has felt this way, you must feel this way. And what I'm trying to say is, don't put words in their mouth. Find the real objection by just asking them to explain themselves. You might feel it's a financial concern. They can't afford it. They don't feel it's worth it. When in reality, it's a timing issue. I'm going on vacation next week, and this just isn't a convenient time for me. So rather than putting words in their mouth, find the real objection. Once you've found the real objection and they've explained themselves, you've not put words in their mouths and said, is it this? All of a sudden, you just need to now, before answering or overcoming it, you need to validate it and say, oh, you know what? What you just brought up, I am very comfortable or familiar with that. That's something that others have mentioned before. What you're saying makes sense. The validation does two things. One, it allows the customer to actually feel understood. Their defenses go down because they don't feel as if it's a contentious relationship because you're deflating it. You're actually validating them, and they're able to feel a little bit more comfortable with you. The validation also allows you to kind of gather your thoughts rather than this argumentative back and forth. It calms the conversation. So first is to find the real objection. Second is to validate. Once you've validated it, what we want to do now is isolate it. Before I even take the time to bother with answering the question, I want to find out, is there anything else? Sometimes there's something more extreme or more significant than the initial thing that they're bringing up. They may say that, it's something that's unaffordable. They don't see value in it. But more importantly, it could be a time issue. They're leaving out of town. They don't have time right now for whatever. My point simply being is that might be a more significant thing that you need to really address and overcome before the first one that they may have brought up originally. So isolating that concern is very helpful to just see, is everything out on the table here? Before I even bother to answer this question, is there anything else I need to be aware of? And they may actually volunteer, well, there's this second and there's this third thing that I'm concerned about or have questions about. So notice, I haven't answered the first thing. Through isolation, I've got all the cards now on the table. So these are the three things that you're concerned with. Yes, they are. What I'm going to do then is overcome the objection. And I'm going to start with the biggest one, the most cumbersome one, because only if I can resolve that can I then easily address the others. It doesn't help to address the easy one if the larger one's still looming in the conversation. And only once they're now addressed, equally involving the other person to say, look, we've got a mutual decision here. You want this. Obviously, there's some things we need to resolve to move forward. Let's mutually try and come to a resolution and through perhaps compromise, get this to be a win-win for both parties. Once you get to that point, you can now overcome the objection. You've now done so. You now need to finally ask for the sale again.
Okay, I love that. Because a lot of times, salespeople, they don't answer your questions. They just go around in a circle. You don't really get the questions you want, or they sometimes get hostile with you when you ask questions. I've come across that myself. It's like, whoa, Now, when we talked about overcoming the objection, but I know that you wanted to talk about, we kind of skipped a part of it in the beginning. Now, there also is six steps that you want to make sure people understand as well. Can you talk about those?
Yeah, so before overcoming the objections, you've got the presentation. You obviously need to go through the processes of explaining the product, the service, and so forth. And I have six steps that make up Cut to the Chase. And it begins, first of all, with rapport. People do business with people they like. It's that know, like, and trust philosophy. It's the idea of you need to actually build rapport with the individual so that they feel comfortable. All of these things are essential because at the end of the day, sales are an emotional decision. And so I want them to feel comfortable and good about the conversation we're having. So that's the discovery. I'm asking questions, getting to know them. I'm seeing them as a real person, a real human being, rather than just somebody I can sell to. And if they feel listened to, heard, if I'm understanding their current situation, their needs, all of a sudden, the person feels validated. And so the rapport and discovery phase is the first phase. And really, nothing after that is important unless you have that relationship with the customer.
Right. I like that a lot. You know, I think a relationship with a customer is so important, and some people forget that when they are trying to make a sale. They forget that, you know, you have to really create a relationship with the individual, understand the individual's needs, respect the individual's needs, and when you start to do that and you start to grow that rapport, you start to really, you know, take seriously what they have to say and, you know, really truly want to help that individual. That's when I think the trust factor comes in too, and then you start developing that trustful relationship, and you could actually take it to the next step.
Exactly. Now, the thing I kind of use as a litmus test to determine when I'm ready to progress to step two is I look for them to laugh. I literally am looking for them to really relax enough to the point that they can laugh and have a chuckle. If I can get them to the point where they're actually now laughing with me, I believe that we've built a relationship such that we can move on. If I've not been able to get them to relax enough to laugh, then I haven't broken through. They still have a barrier up, in my opinion. And so one of the things that I want to do is really develop as a salesperson, as a just a human being, that ability to connect with individuals at that level. And so you just kind of learn what questions are really helpful to kind of take in the surroundings, take items of interest, backgrounds, history, and really build connections with what you have in common. And through that, find an opportunity to get them to chuckle and laugh. And then you're able to say, okay, I've got them where they're comfortable with me, we're relaxed, let's move on to that next phase.
Right, exactly. Now, you talk about also the pain. Like, why now? What's the problem? What do you say to that?
Well, before we get to the pain, I want to be very clear with the customer that they're talking to the right person. And so I want to transition from this casual conversation that we're having for them to now see me as the expert. I am the right person to be discussing whatever it is you sell or offer because we have it, we offer it, and I'm the right solution for you. That's one of the things that I think is very important. And it changes this relationship from being casual to now they're seeing me as someone to pay attention to. I have information that's valuable to you. I'm an expert, so pay attention. And so it's meant to actually be a transition. Typically, in a conversation, I'm very common asking them to get a pencil and paper out so they can take notes. I'm going to share with you some things you need to be aware of. I'm at the same time wanting to explain a little bit of the company history, why we're the ones that they should be considering. All these things are essential. This isn't the offer. I'm not selling them anything at this point. I'm just positioning myself as the right person to be speaking with because I've got the information to help them move forward. APE is the acronym for this step. The second step is achievable, profitable, and easy. I want to show that whatever product or service I'm offering is relevant to them. It's achievable in the sense that they can acquire it, they can purchase it, there's a means to get it. It's profitable, has an ROI, it's going to be beneficial to them, it'll solve the problem or solution or offer a solution to their current need. And then with regards to easy, there's a process and a system to onboard, get to leave with it today. There's a way that we can actually get this into your hands now. If I can show that this is achievable, profitable, and easy to the customer, then they're going to say, okay, what you're going to now discuss with me is relevant, it makes sense, and I need to pay attention. And that's what I want to move forward. Again, I have not sold them any product or service. I've just positioned how I, the company, and what we're going to be discussing meets their need. And if we're talking to the right person, they can make that decision. So achievable, profitable, easy is the acronym of APE that's part of step two.
I love that. Now, when step three, we go back to that pain. Why now? What exactly is that? Can you explain that?
Yeah, so it depends on what it is you're selling. For some people, it's opportunity. And so, what we want to do is leverage the upside of what it is we're talking about. They may look at it in let's say, an investment or something that's going to change or improve their situation. But more often, it's a pain. They're talking to you typically because there's a situation that needs to be resolved. And until it's resolved, there's problems going on. Things are getting worse and worse the longer we let this go. And so, whichever it is for your company, your product, your service, you need to identify, is this an opportunity sale or is this a pain sale? Are you resolving something that needs to be taken care of, otherwise it gets worse? Or is this an opportunity that if missed, is going to be a missed ROI? So you just need to identify which it is. But now knowing which it is, you're going to go into the customer and identify why this is such a good opportunity or why this is such a significant pain for them to act today. Why are we talking now? And with that pain, they may communicate that things have changed in their lives. There's something going on that needs to be resolved. I mean, for example, if you're a plumber, obviously, if somebody's pipes are broken and things have flooded and it needs to be fixed, otherwise they can't turn on the water again and they can't use their sink and they can't flush the toilet and take a shower, there's an urgency about this. That's clearly the pain. And what we want to do is kind of pour salt on that wound or pour some lemon in there to say, so if you don't take care of this, this is obviously a problem. Yeah, if I don't take care of this, I'm not going to bathe. I'm not going to be able to wash. I can't brush my teeth. I can't go to the bathroom. Okay, so all of a sudden, what's happening here is I'm getting them to get into that emotional state of urgency that I need to take some action. I have to resolve the situation. And so the big thing that I want to identify here is the more time you can spend on pain or opportunity, the deeper you can get into the contrast of what's going on now and painting what the alternative will be having my product or service, that chasm, the difference between the pain and the opportunity, the pain and the solution is going to be the motivating factor for the purchase. So the longer you can dive into that pain and then focus on the opportunity, that chasm defines whether or not they're actually going to be willing to part with their money and spend the time and the money with you for your product or service.
I like that. Now, what's the next step? The next step is we talked about paint right now, so helping the client, paint their picture. The next step would be the solution, I assume.
It is, but let's focus on paint for a moment because with pain, I'm diving into what's the problem, the need for the change, why the urgency, why are we talking today? I now need to conversely talk about benefits. Oh, okay, so tell me what would be better, different if you actually changed your situation. Oh, well, if I had the water on, I could, do the dishes. If I had the water on, I could drink. If I had the water on, I could actually do my yard. If I had the water on, I could take a bath. I can go to the restroom. All of these things, okay, those are important changes. So what would be different about you? I'd be able to go to sleep at night because my spouse wouldn't be saying this, that, or the other. I'd be able to not be stinky because I'm bathing. I mean, go on and on about the benefits. But the point that I'm trying to make here is I want them to talk about the contrast of once we make this problem go away and it becomes resolved, how their life will be better. And that's one of the things that I think is very important, is letting them describe how they feel things will be better for themselves making a decision. Now, notice I haven't talked about the offer yet. We haven't explained what the solution is going to involve or cost. What we're talking about is getting this resolved improves their life somehow. And I want them to communicate to me what that is. This isn't me telling them how I think their life will be better. That's the beauty. It's not me imposing upon them what I believe the benefits to be. It's me asking the questions in a way that they can have vision, they can see ahead, they're able to, in their own words, articulate how things could be different if they change their situation. I want them to paint their own picture. And again, the contrast between the pain and the paint is going to determine whether or not they're going to pay for your product or service and how much they're willing to pay. Because if the chasm is very small, it doesn't matter. But if you're talking about a huge difference between I have a health-related issue, and if I don't resolve this health-related issue, I'm in pain, I'm in agony, I can't work, I can't go to work. Oh, if this gets fixed, you can go back to work, you'll feel better, you'll sleep at night. Well, that's all of a sudden this contrast between the pain I'm experiencing and the relief I'll experience when I'm done. That contrast determines whether or not this is a $10 purchase, a $100 purchase, a $1,000 purchase. It's that chasm that defines it. So all of a sudden you get to paint, let them explain how their life's going to be better. Now what you're able to say is, great, that is possible with our product or service, and that moves us into solution. Solution is now our product or service will help obtain what it is you just described. We can accelerate you getting to exactly what you just mentioned because those are the benefits of our product or service. And the solution or offer is now our ability to explain how what we have to put on the table will give the result they're looking for. And the better you can now explain how the solution accomplishes what the goal is that they're trying to paint, the more likely they're going to buy what you have to offer because your solution is the pathway to their painting of the picture that they just described. And that's what we're trying to do, is show the correlation between what they want and what we have to offer. And that's the solution offer.
I like that a lot. Now, you also talk about the offer and the close and qualifying questions to support it. Like, can you go more into detail about that to help
Certainly,
others?
yeah. So once we've identified the solution, the first thing I want to do before I go into price is the last thing with the offer close. Before I leave solution, I want them to agree that what we're discussing will in fact achieve what it is they're wanting. Only if what we're offering meets their needs and gives them the solution that they want, is it relevant to say how much it costs. Otherwise, who cares how much it costs? It doesn't matter the cost if what I'm offering doesn't achieve what you're intending to do. If you're wanting a car, and in purchasing a car, you wanted something that would pull a boat, but I'm offering you an economy car that gets great gas mileage and it's really small. It's a two-seater, it's a commuter vehicle, but it doesn't even have a tow hitch and it doesn't have a tow capacity. What does it matter that I have a car for you that won't achieve the goal you have, which is I need to be able to seat my family of four and I need to be able to pull this boat that actually is important to us because we go out to the beach basically once a month during the summer. Well, I've got a car. It's a commuter car. It gets, 40 miles to the gallon. It doesn't matter. It doesn't pull the boat I have. So the solution isn't the right solution. So I want to have them basically say, yes, what you're offering me will pull my boat. It does fit my family. It has the amenities that I'm looking for. Only then, once the solution matches the goals that they have, does it matter what the cost is. And so that's then them agreeing that what you're offering is the solution. It makes sense. I see why you're proposing this. I understand how this would achieve what I'm looking for. Awesome. Now you can go to the offer close and say, well, this is how much it is. And you can start talking about how they can afford it. Financing options. You can talk about discounts and promotions going on that by acting today, you get this type of a benefit. But the point is the solution has to be first agreed upon, and then you go to the price. And with that the conversation, you're able to determine whether or not it's worth them moving forward. But the beauty of this is if they've agreed as to the solution being the right option, now we can have a mutual conversation about, well, how do we get around getting this into your hands? We're both wanting the same thing. I just need to figure out how, with you, we can make it convenient and easy for you to actually now afford this. And so that's where you get into that conversation about what we can do with different terms and financing and discounts and so forth. And that's that offer close part.
And what I like about it is you break it, when you talk about cutting to the chase, you also went over some of the skills that are important, like building the rapport, listening, open-ended questions to clarify the issues and the objective, and closed-ended questions to confirm the understanding, create an urgency, and to be the expert and to collaborate with individuals. Now, a lot of times everybody doesn't, have all those qualities yet, but what are some suggestions about, working on them and tweaking them, and really, understanding, are there ways where people can figure out where their weaknesses lie, and you haven't do you have any advice on how they can kind of strengthen those areas so they become better salespeople?
Certainly. Yeah. A lot of people are, as salespeople, able to sell to similar people, which is you'll buy your product. I at least hope you will buy your product. So, argumentatively, you can sell to your same type of persona because you sell to yourself and therefore you can sell to them. It's the different types of people. It's the people that maybe are the alphas or the nurturers, the more, let's say, the more decision makers that base it on information. They need a lot of information to fill as if they're making an intelligent decision. Well, if you can sell to a quarter of the population because they're like you, there's three quarters of the people that you're not resonating with because you're not really learning what their personality types are, their decision making as it comes to purchasing. So what we need to do is, first of all, understand that the biggest bridge to all of these is, first of all, open-ended questions, like you mentioned, and listening. Too often, salespeople, we like to hear ourselves talk. I mean, obviously, I'm doing a lot of talking here because of the fact that this is the nature of the conversation. But in a real sales conversation, I should be doing more listening, asking open-ended questions, building the rapport. I should be listening through pain. I be, should be listening through paint. I should be listening through the solution. I should be listening through the offer. All of these things are intended to be open-ended conversations where I'm doing more listening to kind of nurture the person along and let them feel that they're being heard, understood, and that what they're being offered isn't being sold to them. It's being provided to them as a solution to their current need. And that kind of approach resonates with people because they don't feel as if they have to be on the defensive all the time. So if you can actually develop ways to move through these six steps that are comfortable to you, that are meant more open-ended questions to kind of move them from step to step, it'll be a natural thing for you to do. It won't seem unnatural where you're selling people. It'll be more conversational and it'll be more of a win-win, if you will, for the conversation.
I love that. And that's so true. Sometimes, people just try to sell the product, and it's not about selling the product. There's steps to be made. And I think also, some people do get intimidated because they don't know, understand how they can work with somebody that's not like themselves. What would you suggest to other people who, salespeople who don't know how to relate to the different other types of personalities? How could they get over that hump?
Excellent question. So I'm going to answer it in two ways. One, there are a variety of sales strategies or systems that you can subscribe to. As a professional salesperson, I would encourage you to actually research and study the different sales styles. This is clearly one, and it's one that I found that resonates with a lot of people who don't consider themselves salespeople. It's very natural, and these six steps are used by accounting professionals all the time, and they arguably don't consider themselves salespeople. So it is something that's natural, but as a salesperson, yes, there's a number of techniques out there. There's some more hard sales techniques and such. But the first thing I'd say is you should read a book called The Closer. He actually speaks of what are referred to as different personality types that we as salespersons take on. And you want to be familiar with which is your natural approach because there are different approaches that individuals take. I'm referred to as a positive closer. That's a different strategy than, say, the turtle or maybe the jolly golly salesperson. Each of them are personas that work. Mine, the one that I'm natural with and to, is the positive closer. The second thing you want to look at is a book called Bank by Sherry Tree. Sherry actually wrote a book based on the personality types of decision makers. How does someone decide to part with their money? And it's based on an acronym of BANK. If you're familiar with The Closer by Ben Gay III and also Bank by Sherry Tree, these each complement what we're talking about today as it relates to Cut to the Chase.
I love that. I love that a lot. Now, also, is there anything else that you feel that we should include in this conversation that would help people when it comes to cutting to the chase and really get into the important factors?
Yeah, the one thing I'd end on is if you wouldn't buy your own product, you've got a problem. You have to be able to comfortably get to the point where you're willing to pay for what it is you offer. And a good salesperson realistically has purchased the product that they're selling. And so if it actually happens to be a physical product, it'd be nice to be able to say, I likewise also do this. For example, I work with some people that do door-to-door sales offering alarm systems or pesticides and so forth. Well, these alarm sales people, the first question you want to ask is, do you use this service? And on your phone, show me the app of you using your alarm system. If they're unwilling to actually utilize the very product that they're asking you to put into your home, we've got a situation here simply because I don't understand why you're trying to sell me something that you don't see as valuable enough to have yourself. So that's one of the things that oftentimes, I mean, you might be offering, say, a surgical procedure that you don't personally need. I get that. But the point is do you typically have a product or service that you have likewise purchased? And that's one of the things that's very convincing. If that person was sold on it enough that they likewise have purchased that product or service, that's very telling. And so that's one of the things that I would highlight.
I like that idea. Now, if you had to take today's conversation and you wanted to emphasize on some important factors for the listeners, what are some things you'd like to emphasize for the listeners as they walk away from this podcast?
Sales is an emotional decision. You have to bring energy. The customer will never be more excited about the solution or offering that you're providing than you. You know more about it. You know what it is. You know how it can change their lives. You've seen it perhaps affect other customers. They will never be more excited than you. So you need to bring energy. Sales is an emotional thing and it's contagious. So you need to bring the energy. Two, you've got to be able to more or less sell in a way that's comfortable for you. You would buy from you. What you're saying convinces you to make that purchase or transition. If you do that, you will at least resonate with 25% of the population simply because by default, 25% of the people out there are just like you. The question is can you then transition that philosophy, that approach, to resonate with the other 75%? There's those types. That's what we can focus on. And if you're interested in knowing more and kind of developing these skills further, you can check out the information in the description where we offer a further explanation or course on exactly what we've been talking about today.
I love that. Now, what are some of the services that you offer to people?
Well, clearly, as an accounting school, we've got accounting courses, but we also offer trainings as it relates to marketing, selling, just things that are essential for you to take the skills and services that you have and get customers that are paying customers. So it's wonderful that you're, in my case, a great accounting professional. You offer wonderful accounting services, but unless you have paying customers, who cares? And so you have to develop that ability to market and sell and close the deal. And so then to spend a little bit of time figuring out how to effectively market, sell, price, and ask for a close is well worth your time, especially if you're somebody that's individually going out and trying to offer a product or service that you offer. So it's worth the time and investment to actually develop these skills and become more confident in them, more comfortable with them. And that's why we offer a training called Strategic Selling, as to essentially help you develop these skills and find out what's natural for you.
I love that. So you don't really have in a lot of the courses that you offer also are, you don't have to be an accountant. You could actually, the courses that you mentioned will actually help you in any business.
Yeah, like I mentioned, we have a division of the company called Universal Business Builder, where we have basically various industries, trades, healthcare, and so forth. And these people go through a variety of our trainings because these are essential skills to be successful. And so we do have a number of curriculums that are non-accounting based. I've got a personal finance course. I've got a job placement course. I've got a couples course. I've got sales courses. As a school, we've got a good library of different curriculums that you can take advantage of.
I love it. I love it. So where can people find you?
You can go to universalaccounting.com, and there you can find a variety of free resources that we offer, books, curriculums, courses, white papers that as business owners especially you can utilize to work on your business, develop your skills. And then the second thing is you can connect with me on LinkedIn. Go to LinkedIn, reach out, direct message me, mention that you'd actually heard this podcast. I'd love to connect with you.
I love it. Well, this has been amazing, Roger, and I look forward to seeing you again. This has been a wonderful podcast, and I love the idea that, you know, you talk about different personalities and you talk about the whole, you know, how you begin the conversation to the closing aspect, because that's something that a lot of people struggle with. And I talk to hundreds of people, and they always, there's one area, either it's either in the closing area, and most of the time it's learn how to market and sell the product and close the product. It's usually a weakness in one of those three, or even more than one of those areas, because people I come across, they have great products, great services, you know, great ideas, but they lack in one of those areas, and that holds them back. So I'm really glad that you offer programs like this, because this could be a huge advancement for individuals who really want to succeed and elevate to the next level in their business. So thank you so much for what you do, and I really look forward to seeing you, and you are just amazing. You're number one in my book, Roger.
Feelings mutual, Stacy. Yep. And always remember this: if it's about business, it is universal.
It is universal. That is true. Have a great day.